Thank God. Well, we talked about unity last week a little bit and, bearing with one another. And I just want to continue in that vein, just review a little bit of what we talked about and then go a little bit different direction. But let's turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So, verse 2 says, bearing with one another in love. And verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice, we're going to go back to those two verses, but notice in verses 4 through 6, he's saying something here about oneness and unity. He said, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism into the body of Christ. There are baptisms, baptism of the Holy Spirit, different things, but he's talking about baptism into Jesus, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's stressing the oneness, that there isn't a bunch of different spirits. There isn't a bunch of different bodies, many lords or many different faiths, but there's one. You wouldn't know it a lot of times by looking at the body of Christ today or Christianity. There's how many different churches, how many different denominations, even within Christianity. But he's stressing that there's one. We should keep that in mind just when we're dealing with one another. Dealing, whether it's in our family, whether it's in the church, that really we're all together. When we get into heaven, it's not going to be a bunch of different church buildings or different factions. We're going to be one. Somebody said it recently when I was listening to someone recently that, they're saying if we don't get some things ironed out on this earth, somewhere between heaven and earth and heaven, we're going to have to get that stuff worked out because there's not any strife in heaven. There's nothing, there's no factions or anything. So somehow it's going to get worked out. Sometimes when we think, I don't got to work that out with that person or I'll just forget it, I'll go on. Well, we're both Christians. Somewhere along the road, we're going to. Somehow, I don't know how that works, but we may be wrong. Sometimes we always think it's other person. But it might be us. Maybe we didn't do it. Maybe, our hindsight isn't always 20/20, the way we remember certain things that happen. We see that through the lens of our understanding. Have you ever done that? You remember a situation after you've matured or grown up, you realize, I messed up there. I was dumb there. I should not have done that. I thought I was right. I thought, I had all my act together, or I thought I was right in that situation. But you know what? I was wrong. You realize that. Well, there'll be more of that, I'm sure, as we grow. And so we never want to just take that attitude. The Bible stresses it very strongly that we want to make this a very high on our list of priorities, is to walk in peace and to walk in unity. And we said some of these things last week. I'm going to review a few of these things. But it says, bearing with one another in love. And I talked about this, that bearing with, that word is like endure, when we're enduring with one another. And it means this, the idea of persevering, tolerating. And we hear a lot about tolerance today. Tolerance is not just putting up with anything under the sun, whether it's evil or not. That is not tolerance. He's not talking about putting up with ungodly things. Just talking, tolerating is just bearing with one another in love. Even though you're not perfect or I'm not perfect, but we still tolerate each other. That does not mean that we tolerate things that are ungodly. That means if somebody is doing something that needs to be corrected, love does not just tolerate that. That's not toleration. He's talking about, of course, in the context of love and what is godly. We don't put up with ungodly things and say, well, that's tolerance. That's not tolerance. God will not be pleased with that. The idea of persevering, tolerating, bearing with, putting up with, standing firm, not losing courage under pressure. Now, like I mentioned this last week, you know, if you've never been in a close relationship, in a close family, if you've ever lived with another person, period, you know what the idea is of putting up with somebody or bearing with somebody. You know, you have different habits that you find out by living with somebody or being close quarters with them that you don't necessarily find out when you pass them on the street. How they do things. How they do things that you'd maybe rather not know how they do them in their life. But you find them out anyway because you're in close proximity. Well, when you're bearing with people, sometimes that takes putting up with, standing firm, and not losing courage under pressure, tolerating. That's what he's saying here. That's the attitude. When he says bearing with one another in unity, it's not just a religious term. He's saying to endure, that it's not necessarily always easy. It's not necessarily always easy to put up with another human, but when we know God is putting up with us and dealing with our faults, even though we may not be perfect, it makes it a whole lot easier to look at somebody else and say, you know what, I can bear with you. My God is looking at me and bearing with me. I can do the same thing. And then in the next verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. The word endeavoring there is just a picture of eagerness. You're going after it. You're ready to do it. It's something that's high on your priority list. It means to exert oneself. Make every effort. Give diligence. Make haste. Be zealous. Strain with every nerve and further the cause assiduously. It means to really try hard. Not like, well, I tolerate you for 5 minutes. All right, you're out. Forget it. I've put up with you long enough. I don't like what you're doing. That's it. It means to be very diligent in doing it, trying very hard, making it your highest priority. Like Brother Hagin said, I mentioned this last week. Brother Hagin mentioned that, you know, him, he and Aretha would just try to outdo each other in love. They would try to work, you know, they just made it their attitude that I'm going to do it better than you. You know, I'm going to go bend over backwards to make you happy. And if two people or three people, whatever, if we have that attitude, it makes it very difficult for strife to get in. And that's what I want to focus on today is striving to keep peace and keeping strife out. But when we have that attitude and we're eager to try to keep the peace, keep unity, keep strife from getting in, it makes it difficult for it to get in. On the other hand, if we have this attitude like, well, you know, you're this close, buddy, and I really don't have much tolerance for you, and then any little thing can set us off, then it makes it very easy for strife to get in. Because how many of you know if you're in that attitude, it doesn't take much to, you know, you can complain about anything, any little thing. And it's a lot of times it's the little things that push us around. But if we have the attitude that, man, this is, I want to be in unity more than anything. I want to be in peace more than anything. That is my top, one of my top priorities. And it makes it difficult for that to get in. Let's turn over to Romans 12, 10. This is where we ended up last week. Romans 12, verse 10. It says there, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now we read all these other verses. We're just going to read this one and another one here. But be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference. In honor, giving preference. See, you're honoring the other person. Why? Because they're a child of God too, just like you are. Doesn't, you know, when you honor something, regardless, you know, of necessarily the certain characteristics of that person or whatever, you're honoring. When you honor the office that someone stands in, it doesn't mean you like everything about them, but you're honoring the office they stand in. When you're honoring another person, it doesn't mean that everything is always perfect. It means you're honoring them because they're a child of God. And you're honoring them because Jesus loves them. And if God the Father has made them right, then we are honoring them because of that. Now, for a few verses down, in verse 17, he says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible." If it is possible, as much as depends on the other person, live peaceably with all men. No, it says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible. Think about the last verse we read, you know, over in Ephesians, where he's talking about striving, making it your top priority. And he's saying here, if it is possible. Sometimes we're like, well, yeah, but it's a pain. But it's possible. So sometimes we just have to say, if it's possible, as much as depends on me, because I can't control the other person. I can't control everybody, but I can control what I do. And so sometimes I just have to control my reaction. And if it's possible, as much as depends on me, live peaceably with other men. Do you realize that everybody had that attitude? We would have that utopia that everybody, you know, says they're searching for, and which heaven will be. But because if everybody has the attitude that, you know, let's say in a family, for instance, that if it's possible, as much as depends on me, I'm going to get along with you. And then the next person says, but if it's possible, as much as depends on me, I'm going to get along with you. The third person says the same thing. Then if everybody's looking at each other, man, I'm going to do everything I can, as much as it's possible. If it depends on me, I'm going to get along with you. And everybody's doing that. Do you realize how hard it would be to get into strife? It's just like you've locked arms. And if the other person moves to the right, you're moving there too, because you're not going to let that gap in. See, as much as depends on you, that person moves away, but you're right there. But then you move away, but they're right there. See, it's impenetrable. And that keeps peace. And that's what I wanted to talk about, that to seek after peace, to seek after it. And to keep strife out. Seeking after peace and removing strife as much as is possible. As much as it is possible. See, when you say possible, well, of course it's possible, but man, that's hard. No, if it's possible. That raises the threshold. That raises the threshold. What I can do it. You know, well, I just can't take this anymore. Really? You can't or you won't? A lot of times when we say can't, we mean won't. I can't do it. You can't do it. You know, somebody says, I can't quit this habit. I can't do it. Can't do it. Okay. Now you're telling me what I'm going to do is if you can go the next 24 hours without partaking in that habit, I'll give you $1,000. Can you do it? I think I could do it. Oh, you can? I thought you couldn't. Well, no, for $1,000, I could do it. So you get to the next end of the day. Okay, you make it another day. I'll give you $2,000. Can you do it? Well, I think I'd give it a good shot. I could do it. Well, what happened? I thought you couldn't do it. Well, no, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. And do you realize if you kept going like that, you could break that habit? Now, I'm not trying to get us into condemnation and say, well, you know, we just all can be perfect tomorrow if we just had $1,000 thrown at us or whatever. No, I'm not saying that we have perfection. I'm just saying a lot of things that we say we can't do is that we won't do it. But when we have the proper motivation, we really realize, and this is the foundation of everything, what God's attitude toward us is and what he really looks at us. And that becomes our motivation for how we behave. Then it will break those bondages that we thought were impossible. That we thought there's no way I could do it. Can't do it. But God's love makes it possible. God's love makes it possible to do what we're talking about today. To makes it possible to seek peace with people we thought we couldn't do it. Can't put up with that. Well, may we re-examine and say it in the context of what God's word says and that he loves me, I can do it. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4. We're just over there. We'll go back over there and go to the end of the chapter. Seeking peace and avoiding strife. Ephesians 4, verse 29. He's just given some instructions here. Both Ephesians and Colossians are kind of organized like this. At the beginning, they're very similar. They have very similar verses in a lot of places. But at the beginning, it talks about who we are in Christ and what has happened to us. And then the rest of the first half talks about that. The second half talks about, so how should we walk because of that? What should we do because of that? And that's what he's in the middle of doing, this whole area. He's just saying, do this and don't do this because. Not because you're earning anything with God, but because of what God's done in you. So in verse 29, he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He's talking about what we say a lot here. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That it may impart grace to the hearers. Basically, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. If it's not going to impart grace, if it's not going to be good listening, then just zip your lip. Shut up. A lot of times we want to say certain things, and we know if we've lived around a certain person, we know if we say it, what's going to happen next. We know it. And sometimes we let it fly anyway. Well, here it comes. Get your flak jacket on. We all done it. We're not, we've all done that. We're all guilty of that. But what he's saying here is, don't. As much as depends on you, that depends on you right now. Yeah, the other person might deserve it, but don't. If we're really seeking peace eagerly, if we really want that, at that point, bite the tongue, say something good. Say something that'll impart grace. Oh, thank God. Thank you, God. I'm just happy this. Isn't this nice? Whatever. Something besides the thing that we know will come out wrong and break the peace, cause strife. I don't want those things. I'm not saying it's always easy, but as much as depends on us to do this. So he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification, building up. Things that build up, not things that tear down. Things that build up, not that tear down. If it's not going to build up, axe it. Before it, if it starts up here, it's proceeding down. There ought to be some kind of hatch that if it's not going to impart edification, it stops before it comes out and causes a bunch of other problems. Then verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That right there is the foundation for any of this stuff. He's saying be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave us. Even the way God in Christ forgave us and treated us, that's the way we ought to look at other people and treat them. But it's not always easy. It's not what our flesh wants to do. But it's what God would have us to do. Let's turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace with all people. Same sentiment that we are. What is, that give a picture of? You're running after it. You're pursuing. You're going after peace. It's one of your goals. And with peace, if you have peace, peace is the absence of strife. Now, I want to go back, and we're going to read several Proverbs just about this. Go through just the book of Proverbs, several places. Gives different facets to this. Let's turn back to Proverbs 10. just some good things. Proverbs is another area. And we did this a while back with a different subject. It's another area where there's just a lot of things, and I haven't given them all here. A lot of different facets. Just to remind ourselves, just to go over in this area some practical wisdom, some practical advice to keeping the peace and avoiding strife. We all there? Proverbs 10, verse 12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Hatred stirs it up, but love will cover it over. Somebody does something wrong, love will cover it. Let it go. Not having to point out everything the other person does. I will tell you, if we're doing that, that in itself will cause lots of strife. We don't just let things go. We got to nitpick all the time. If we do that, that's not good for living together. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Any relationship. And if you do that with your coworkers, we know we don't like that. Nobody else likes it. Proverbs 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. By pride comes nothing but strife. By pride, when you're proud. See, you think you have it all together. You think you don't do anything wrong. Strife comes from that. You think you don't need to act a certain way. Yeah, that's them. They're the ones that has all, you know, their person has all the wrong problems, or everybody else is doing it wrong, but you're doing it right. What comes from that? Strife. That causes strife. And we're talking about how to pursue peace and avoid strife. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Actually, go right before that. We'll read the verses before that first. Proverbs 15, verse 16. It says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. What is he saying? Money. And this guy, the Proverbs writer is saying, I would take a little with peace than a lot with hatred any day. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is dinner is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Then the next verse, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. See, a wrathful man stirs up strife. Somebody that's quick to anger, quick to get lose their temper. It stirs up strife. But when you're slow to anger, it allays contention. We know this practically speaking. If we can, somebody is getting on our nerves or some situation is getting on our nerves. If we react right away, we say things we don't want to say. We say things we shouldn't say. We cause strife. You know, even if the other person was bringing strife in the situation, we just make it worse. But if we'll just back off, just be slow to anger, wait, calm down. It's amazing how our perspective changes and how we're able to deal with certain situations that we thought were just going to blow up. Let's turn to Proverbs 17. There's a few more here. He says the same thing here as we just quoted earlier. Better, verse 1, chapter 17. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Down in verse 9. Chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. See, when something bad happens, some rift or whatever, and we bring it up again and again and again, well, yeah, and if, you know, in a family or when you've ever been married or whatever, you do that, yeah, you know, remember this time you did this, and you bring it up, that, what it's saying here is that it separates close friends. But when you look over it, you cover it, you're seeking love. You're seeking peace. When you know you could say something, but you don't. It says you're covering a transgression. You're seeking love, seeking peace. And that's when it depends on us. That's something we can do. Verse 14, same chapter. the beginning of strife. These are just practical things. Practical things we can do. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. We know that point. Like I said earlier, we know a certain point. We can sense sometimes that if I keep going here, this is going to be a big argument. But if I stop here and say something kind, it can change the whole dynamic of everything. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Stop before the dam breaks. You know, a dam could have a little hole in it, just squeaking out water. But if it starts blowing a hole bigger, bigger, pretty soon you got this rushing water coming out, and it's very difficult to stop at that point. I like this one, Proverbs 20, verse 3. I've had this highlighted for some time. It's one of my favorite scriptures along this line, and puts it plain enough anybody can see this right away. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. You don't have to be smart to start a fight. Any fool can do it. So when I read that, I say, I don't want to be that fool. Shut up, fool. Shut up and shut your mouth right now. It doesn't take any brains to do this. You know, we all know, you can. If you know how to push somebody's buttons, you're being a fool at that point. You know what you can do, yeah, but any dummy could do that. But it says on the other hand, and it is honorable for a man to stop striving. Counter to what our flesh would like to do, it's honorable. You think, hey, am I going to be honorable right now or be a fool? Which one? Sometimes we just end up being the fool anyway, but we can say, nope, it's honorable. I'm going to choose that. And let's close with this. Proverbs 28, 25. Proverbs 28, 25. He who trusts in his own heart. Oh, I'm reading the wrong next one. He who is of proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And that's a lot of times what it comes down to. He who is proud of heart. If you're proud, you're going to do it your way. You're going to do what you want to do. I don't care what the results are. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Proverbs 28:25. He who is a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. If you trust in God, even if you don't want to do it at that time, but you say, you know what? I just read something over there. I don't want to be a fool. I want to cover transgression. I'm going to trust in God right now. My flesh wants to lash out. My flesh wants to give that person a piece of my mind. Tell them where they've missed it. But it says the proud of heart does that. But he who trusts in the Lord, he's going to be prospered. I want to be that person. I want to be the person that is seeking peace, that's shunning strife. Even if it looks like I should defend myself, I'm going to say, no, God, I trust you. You're my defender. You're my rampart. You're the one I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust you, and I believe you'll honor me because of that. Just because you're honoring God. Just if nothing else, you're honoring God. God, I'm going to honor you right now. I'm going to honor this person because of you. Amen.